We understand the complicated issues raised by Mr. Snowden's decision to travel to Russia. We do agree with President Putin that we do not want the issue to negatively affect the bilateral relationship, but we do not have an extradition treaty with Russia and do not expect that Mr. Snowden would be formally extradited. We do believe there is a basis for law enforcement cooperation to expel Mr. Snowden based on the charges against him and the status of his travel documents. While he spoke of a handful of high-level ones, there's been many hundreds of criminals over recent years that we've returned to Russia, so there's a basis for this cooperation.
All right, there's no cooperation happening with Russia and the United States. That's where we start, at the crossroads of what's happening in the perceptions of others as far as the United States, world leaders who are ignoring what the United States is doing and what we would like to see happen. And then, of course, what's happening in our own backyard, the Supreme Court shooting down a very big provision in the Voting Rights Act has so many people infuriated and others applauding. Which side do you fall on? Part of the conversation here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Okay, so Vladimir Putin says, you know, here's the thing. Edward Snowden is just biding his time in a Moscow airport. That would be our airport, but it's really a transitory kind of thing. He's not technically in Moscow because he hasn't gone through the passport area. Of course he hasn't done that because he has no passport. It's been revoked by the United States. Putin says the sooner he gets to his final destination point, really the better off he'll be for, you know, himself and for us. Because Snowden, of course, is wanted by the U.S. on espionage charges for dumping classified details of the NSA's U.S. surveillance programs. So the big pastime, they say, the international pastime is where's Snowden, kind of like where's Waldo. I'm serious about that. The headlines in all of the international papers are making fun of this and making fun of the United States, technically. So there have been rumors for days that he was tricking us and that he was going to Moscow, but not really. He was someplace else, and he was trying to get away from the possibility of prosecution. Well, Putin, it doesn't matter because he's not tossing him back to the United States. He's saying he's in the transit area of the international airport in Russia, in Moscow, so he's not technically in my country. What's happening is Edward Snowden has a new friend, Julian Assange, who is urging the world to support Snowden, who is slamming Obama and is surrounding this kid with an arsenal of lawyers and other people to help him out to try to get him to Ecuador. So we come back to the same thing, the same point that we arrived at almost 3 weeks ago. Is he a hero? Is he a traitor? Will he be charged? Will he be back? Will he keep hiding? He really has captured the headlines for a very long time. He's getting his 15 minutes plus of fame. But how will he be judged in history? That's the question. You have even the most liberal Democrats defending the NSA and saying that he's not a patriot, he's a traitor, including the Secretary of State, John Kerry. Dianne Feinstein's all over this, saying that, you know, classify, classify, classify. So Russian security forces are not working with Snowden, okay. But he's surrounded by other people who are working with him. Putin's comments are positive, negative, or just kind of neutral. I think he's trying to be sort of neutral, but he's not. He's poking his finger in the eye of the United States. And he's loving it. He's loving being a thorn in the side of the Justice Department and everybody else salivating like General Alexander, who looks like he's going to fall over at any moment. He's so furious by what's happened here. Because, of course, the NSA got exposed. And now they say, well, we've changed the passwords and we have two people to a situation. So that's what it always takes, a crisis. I mean, forget the other aspect, the big aspect of did he do the right thing Are you glad that this happened so you're now more aware, that kind of thing? Just from the perspective of the government gunking it up again, they did exactly that with Snowden. So with his passport revoked, Snowden traveled out of Chinese territory on refugee papers issued by Ecuador, one of the countries that probably will give him asylum, and that's where he's looking to go. That's why Assange's help is so critical for him, because he knows how to do that. The Ecuadorians are helping Assange, although he's not in Ecuador. He's in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. If he steps outside of that embassy, boom, they're going to get him and send him to Sweden, but that has not happened. So Washington is telling countries where he might end up, in Ecuador, that they should hand him over if he lands on their soil. His passport is revoked. Venezuela is also on the list, but I really think it's Ecuador. It's just a question of getting him in there and getting around the passport thing and getting the official judgment of that country. I mean, it's not a secret. Snowden acknowledged he leaked the classified docs about the programs, the Guardian paper and the Washington Post. And the documents, as we know, showed the existence of the programs that collect all of the information of our telephone calls in the United States and monitor internet activity of people here and overseas. But I think the disclosures really blew a hole in the U.S. intelligence web and in that community, because it raised a lot of questions about the NSA and whether they're treading on our civil liberties, and they don't like to be in that position. So what he did was he smashed a few egos against the wall, and people who have their backs up and want to see him just nailed. They want to see him nailed big time. All right, the big thing on the day besides Snowden and Putin saying, you know, forget it, U.S., even though in a roundabout way, not saying it directly, stumping his nose, at the idea of actually sending him to the United States. So that's not going to happen. But there's no confusion over the Supreme Court ruling. As I mentioned at the top, the Voters' Rights Act has been in play since 1965. And the reason that that kicked in is because there was a lot of fraud, a lot of discrimination, a lot of problems with some voting in the 60s and before that. This was the height, you got to remember, of the civil rights movement, where people were fighting each other. They were fighting cops. They were fighting all kinds of people. They were fighting the people at the polling places. So 5-4 decision, key parts of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, boom, not valid. It gets kicked back to Congress. Chief Justice John Roberts says, for the better deplorable conditions that spurred Congress 5 decades ago to require certain parts of the United States to pre-clear changes, it no longer characterizes voting in those covered jurisdictions. It's going to be interesting as Congress will try to piece this all back together and rewrite the rule. Bad chance of that happening, by the way, this year. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Down the street with the people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway to pull this rip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah. I'm gonna get you too, but another one bites the dust.
Let's layer that upon that sonogram bill from last session. And remember that sonogram bill, there have been a lot of stories since it went into law about the hardship it's created for women.
The presiding officer has indicated that three infractions of the rules would be sufficient to move the body, for the body to move to remove the senator from the floor for the purpose of debate.
At what point must a female senator raise her hand or her voice to be recognized over the male colleagues in the room?
Senator tried Tuesday to block an abortion bill by doing a 13-hour filibuster, but did she fail and fall short after 10 hours when the chairman ruled she had gone off topic? But it was very crazy, and it was must-see TV in a sense. It was on YouTube. Matt Johnson, the glue of America Tonight, texted me and said, wow, it's crazy what's going on. And you go to YouTube and you hear all the chanting and the screaming and her filibustering. It was a Fort Worth Democrat, Wendy Davis, who was newly elected, by the way, last time around. She was on the floor late Tuesday morning criticizing the bill, which would be among the nation's most restrictive. What the bill would do is it would ban abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So that was one of the parts of it anyway. But the bottom line is that she was determined to stand there and filibuster. And then some crazy things happened, because in Texas, if you're going to filibuster, different than what we saw like with Rand Paul, remember, with the drones and trying to get an answer from the Attorney General Eric Holder, how there were other people that relieved him, came in, Senator Ted Cruz and others. Okay, so that's on the national level. State legislature in Texas, you can't leave the floor to go to the bathroom. You can't lean on a desk. Can't do any of that. You just have to keep on talking. So Davis talked about everything related to abortion, abortion pill, RU 486, and everything else. And that's when the chairman said, oh, that's off topic. So even somebody tried to put a back brace on her. That infuriated some people, and they said that was breaking filibuster rules. And it went back and forth, and people were yelling and all that kind of stuff that you saw at the end of this. So I'm not giving you a complete clear picture of this either, because there are many more things that happened in this heavy, heavy drama. But what went down in Austin, and I'm sure nationally lots of people will be talking about this besides this show, but Democrats were filibustering what I described, the anti-abortion bill, that the Republicans couldn't pass during the regular legislative session. So check this out. You had to go till midnight, and then that's it. It's session over. So the clock was ticking down. You heard the chanting that we just played there, shutting down the business on the floor. After midnight, somebody changed the date stamps of the votes that were taken on the bill named SB 5. And all of this is, you can see the switching of the votes, you know, that where the timestamp had been changed. So there's going to be some massive controversy over that. Was this voted on officially or no? If you go by the timestamps and you see this where the switch was made, then it would not fly. It would not fly. Matt, you were watching this. That's when you hit me up about it, and you were saying, man, this is crazy what's happening here. And it was. You kept telling me the numbers were ticking up on YouTube of people that were watching.
Yeah, and at the end of it, well, at the height of the chaos, I guess it would be, there was 175 people just on this one YouTube stream that I had, and Twitter was talking about it. There are a lot of people just kind of going crazy over this, because it's obviously a hot button issue. But besides that fact, no matter what side of the aisle you kind of stand as far as the abortion issue,
sure,
the whole ending of the filibuster and then the debate over whether ending the filibuster was legally done and then if the vote was legally counted and all that, and it have it happened before midnight, was the craziest, one of the craziest things I've seen in politics in,
I know,
in, and probably forever, it's at least in American politics, because it was something out of, you see these kind of grainy Eastern European videos every once in a while,
right,
of like
right,
a brawl happening or some,
sure,
legislator taking out a gun and pointing it at people, because I've seen that happen before. This is the craziest thing I think I've seen in American politics, where the entire, I guess it's the Capitol Rotunda where the legislature,
right,
is, was filled with protesters. There were people chanting. There were people screaming. There were legislators yelling at each other. There was the president of the legislature, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, losing all control over this situation. And I don't know, like, even if you voted for that guy, you've got to think that that dude has no control whatsoever over what is happening. He just stood there and had this woman talking in his ear the whole time, basically telling him what to say, had no control of the situation, lost control of the entire room, and lost control of the vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's going to be much made over this for sure. The only thing I can think of that's come close is what happened in Wisconsin with the strike and the unions, remember, and they were going after the governor, and then there was the recall, which of course flopped in Wisconsin, but that wasn't,
was
you're right, that was
protest.
A vote. Yes, that was a
and
protest.
This was outright,
yeah,
just chaos and mayhem.
Yeah. Right, and that was over a bill, and that wasn't the same thing in Wisconsin. It was protests. So that's the only thing that would come close, but still different, because it wasn't actual legislative business on the floor, and it was crazy. It was 175,000, by the way, that Matt was talking about, that were all clicked into YouTube, and Twitter just blew up all over the place. All right, quickly, we're up against it. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Hello, babe.
How are you?
I'm fine, darling. Okay, I'll make this quick. I think this Snowden thing is a red herring. Yes, he's supposedly a bad guy and all that. And yes, he's supposedly hiding out in Russia. But I think the news media is using it to keep the heat off of Obama. I mean, you've got Fast and Furious. You've got Benghazi. You've got the spying on the conservatives by the IRS.
IRS, yeah.
You've got the gun scam that costs Americans their lives. You've just got everything under the sun that he's involved in, plus his attempts to violate the Constitution using illegal executive orders every chance he gets on every single thing that he wants to try to put through. And now this stupid global warming crap where he's going to try to do away with coal and not put through the pipeline from Canada clear down here. It's all the same kettle of fish, the same guy's responsible. This is all Obama and his minions at work. And this Snowden thing is a coalition between the news media, or I should say the Democratic Party, under Barack Obama, which they all are, to usurp our attention to what's really going on.
Yeah, let's hope we don't take our eye off the ball, Dan. I agree that there's so much happening that it has put other things on the back burner, like some of what you mentioned, Benghazi. But there are still committee hearings and investigations. I double-checked again today, but it's not getting a lot of play. He's right about that, because so much of the focus is on Snowden and the Russian roulette, let's say, that's being played out. And what's happened there with the leaks and everything, instead of, okay, what about Benghazi? Because there was whistleblowers there, if you remember. And what about the IRS? That goes deeper. There's more scandal attached to that, if you can believe it. They're piling more of that on. And that was a big one, because it targeted also other groups, not just conservative groups. Then it turns out that they spent $1 billion on all kinds of things, like things like romance novels and porn and $100 dinners, $140 dinners, $100 lunches. I mean, boy, they were living it up for a time at the IRS on your dime and mine.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joe Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters, made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bombproof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
With Andrew Saba, the marketing chef. He's a professional speaker and a positioning and branding and messaging strategist. And boy, talk about the message getting muddled. I got to tell you, over this Edward Snowden stuff, who, by the way, right now is in Moscow at the airport, but President Vladimir Putin, who did confirm that, says, well, you know, he's not really in Russia because he's in a transit area. I have a feeling if I flew a plane and landed in the transit area, I would really be in Russia. And here's the thing. He was asked by a journalist about, you know, what was going on, that is he harboring the fugitive Edward Snowden and whatnot. And he said, you know, I would prefer not to deal with these issues. It's like giving a baby pig a haircut. There's a lot of squealing, but there's little wool. Talk about a poke in the eye to the United States. This would never have happened in the last couple of decades with Russia. So, Andrew, that's where we begin. And this has really brought out something that you and I talked off the air that's quite obvious, that the respect that normally is afforded to the office of the presidents that we've had in the past decades, is not happening with Barack Obama, especially with Russia.
Yeah, I agree, Kate. I mean, the reality is President Obama's foreign policy, it's become increasingly pathetic. Obviously, Russia, as you correctly point out, ignores us on the return of Edward Snowden. They ignore us on ending the rule when it comes to Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So there's no cooperation there. China ignored us on Snowden. You know, they let him go, saying, well, the paperwork wasn't done correctly by the Americans, apparently. So, again, they just thumb their noses at us. Obviously, China's ignored us on cyber terrorism. In fact, they looked at, obviously, at Edward Snowden as probably a coup because I mean, he's going to these countries, you know, people are looking at him as a hero. If you're a hero, you stand up where you are. You only spies and fugitives go to countries like China, Russia, Cuba, and so forth. So, you know, Taliban's ignoring us as we flee Afghanistan. Palestinian Authority ignores us going to the United Nations for statehood and then firing Salam Fayyad. So, you know, the question is, we're in a country in decline from a diplomatic front, and it's a dangerous place to be, don't you think?
I think it is very much so, and it's interesting when you go back to the leadership and the lack of leadership, and that's what's starting to happen here because of all the other things that you also just mentioned with China and the other things that happened recently with Russia. You know, say what you want about Bush. That kind of stuff didn't happen with Bush, especially, remember, after 9/11, all of the allies lined up to help. You can go back to Clinton and you can go back to previous presidents. In fact, let's do that. And we're talking Democrats and Republicans, so it's not all about Republican presidents. It's about Democratic presidents, too, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had a long run of presidents that, you know, we may have had the differences in different areas, domestic policy, or even how they sometimes handle some of the foreign policy. But certainly the United States remain relevant on the world stage. And unfortunately, the signals that we're sending, so what's the message? Just peel back the onion here. So when you slash defense, when you allow Iran to run the negotiation schedule, when you kowtow to the Chinese, you cut the legs out from every ally, you know, whether it's from Poland, Czech Republic, you know, which lost the anti-missile sites, and also to Israel, condemning its building and making, the Palestinian demands on bargaining the official policy of the United States. What message does that send? And I think basically what's being shown to the rest of the world is the characteristic of Obama's foreign policy is to prevent over it's two things. One is a policy of appeasement, and the second thing is that whenever there are overseas crises, I think he looks at this as being a distraction from his domestic agenda. Look what, you know, he's a committed liberal, at least in principle, even today, you know, and he's talking about climate. You know, I mean, we haven't had a warming since Clinton's second year in office, you know. I mean, that's been, you know, it's been proven, and a lot of scientists are saying, you know, that was hyped up, and with each crisis, whether it's foreign or domestic, Obama moves towards something to distract the public. So, you know, I think ultimately we're moving into sort of this self-fulfilling prophecy where I think, you know, Obama feels the United States is not entitled to instruct other countries on human rights in other areas, and therefore this retrenchment, you know, that leads to inactivity, which basically we're in this irreversible paralysis.
Boy, it's true, too. And you look at the global views, and I was thinking back to a poll I can remember just 3 years ago where the view of the United States had improved a little bit, especially because the BBC did a world service poll, and they did it across 28 countries. So for the first time, the BBC, when they started tracking back in 2005, views of the United States' influence in the world were more positive than negative on average. I talked to somebody today in England, and guess what, Andrew? That has dropped considerably. They're getting ready to put out another poll, and they say we'll be very surprised where the United States ranks. So actually, the United States has dropped considerably, a bunch of points on average, because it's not being viewed as positive as before, exactly. Especially when it comes to leadership, which is what we're talking right here. Because you know this is, I said...
Look at what happened just less than a week ago. I mean, in addition to this poll, which I won't be surprised by, because let's look at the evidence of what happened in Berlin less than a week ago. In 2008, Obama wasn't even the president yet. He was a candidate. 200,000 people show up to hear him speak. Last week, 4,000 people showed up in Berlin to hear him speak, and they were invited guests. It wasn't just the public. No, even Europe now is not interested in what Obama has to say. So, and it starts at the top. As they say, the fish stinks from the head. So Obama is viewed as the leader of the United States. He is the leader of the United States. If people are not, if the general people are not even wanting to hear, and the politicians are obviously not interested either. So, yes, we've become irrelevant, and I think it will be definitely interesting what this poll has to say.
Yeah, and what's scary about that is, of course, when you talk about trade, when you talk about positioning, I mean, the United States has always been the policeman, the country that you lean on for help when you're the weaker country. And as more of that deteriorates, I wonder what will happen when you look at China and Russia, two of the countries you mentioned, especially China, as let's face it, they're going for world domination.
Absolutely.
And they might just have a better chance now.
Right. And we have 3.5 more years of this presidency. What's going to happen in the next 3.5 years? We're on our way to becoming a second-rate power in an increasingly dangerous world where China feels they can do whatever they want and Russia feels they can do whatever they want. And the policy of appeasement, and I've said this before, has never worked. And nature abhors a vacuum. So as we step back, thinking that is this policy of retrenchment and isolationism is the right way to go, guess what? Somebody else will fill that power. And that's clearly that Russia and China are both anxious to fill that vacuum.
Yeah, and do you think the only way to turn this around would be really if the president does a 180, which it's not likely?
Right, it's not likely. Now, one could make an argument. This is exactly what Obama wants to do. So so the question is, is this one of incompetence or lack of interest in or lack of understanding in geopolitics? Or is this a deliberate strategy? If you read his book, The Dreams of My Father, this is exactly, he believes that, and this was his father's dream, but he's adopted his father's dream, that the United States should not have the power that it has. And, his father grew up in a colonialist, under the colonies of Kenya, as a colony of the United Kingdom. But that was translated into the U.S. He looks at the U.S. This is kind of a neo-colonialist view of the United States, where, yes, it's not as it was kind of a land-type thing as it was the British Empire. It's an economic dominance in the world. It's a political dominance. It's a military dominance in the world that the United States should not have. And that's exactly, so one could also argue, the other side of this, that this is actually a deliberate strategy. Either way, whether it's incompetence or a deliberate strategy, the end result is the United States will be, it's fast becoming a second-rate power, and certainly by the end of Obama's term in 3.5 years, it will be definitely a second-rate power.
Yeah, well put, because, is it deliberate or is it something that's happening? I would say if you follow what Obama ran on and how the first term went and the second term is going, it could be a deliberate. Andrew Szabo, peel back the onion. We'll do it again next week, my friend.
Thank you, Kate.
We'll be right back. big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there will really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you will be glad you ordered food. Until June 30th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
Hi, my name is Stephen Huer. As a degreed nutritionist, my first priority is for you to get healthy. That won't happen if I make wrong recommendations or cause you to spend money on supplements you don't need. After 20 years working with thousands of products and thousands of people, I know, for the most part, what does and does not work. One World Whey is the first and only unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. It retains substances that no other whey protein powder has. These nutritive compounds supply life-giving nutrition. Your body merely needs the right conditions to make great health happen. Due to low-quality foods, toxicity, and aging, having great health is more of an effort than ever. One World Whey is the superfood of the century, and when added to your diet, it promotes energy, detoxification, muscle gains, fat loss, and overall radiant health. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Big stuff happening in D.C. Of course, the Supreme Court with some major decisions and a couple of major decisions set to come down on Wednesday, probably sometime before noon. But the thing everybody's talking about at this point, besides affirmative action, is the Supreme Court rules on voting rights on the law going back to 1965. Think about how long that had been in play, and now think about the repercussions for individual states, what they're able to do. So, as in everything, it's interpretation. What states are in play? What things are being proposed? Can't we please just have clean elections? I say this all the time. Here's my disclaimer. I'm not naive. Nothing is 100%. But can't we shoot for like 98.9%? Okay, call me an optimist. Let's shoot for 85%. How about that? 85% clean election. Nobody's saying they didn't get to vote and they're an American citizen. Or people are voting who should not be voting, but somebody hands them a sheet of paper, they sign it, and then before you know it, they've gone to the polling places and their vote is counting once, twice, three times. We just can't seem to nail this down and get it right. All right, we've nailed this down. A lot of you have opinions, and you really seem to let them fly when it comes to hitting me up through the mailbag. So let's head to the mailroom.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you. This one from Duncan, who says, Ms. Delaney, I've been listening to the show for several years. Got to say, the Supreme Court must be on dope. Are they on dope? What are they doing? I don't understand some of the things that they have ruled on recently. And, of course, they save the bombshells for the end. But that's history. That always happens. So now the Voting Rights Act. I got to tell you, I'm an independent, and I think there's way too much discrimination when it comes to voting rights. And I think this is on both sides. I used to think I liked the voter ID card, but I think it's just a way to control people who should be able to vote from not voting. There has to be an easier way to get this done, don't you think? Yeah, of course I think that, but I don't know the voter ID cards, there's lots of different ways to look at it. A lot of people don't like the idea of a biometric card. They don't like the idea of a voter ID card. More identification, more ways to be tracked, especially after this NSA dump, the Edward Snowden leaks and what we learned out about information being spied on. So kind of the theory of, well, you got our Social Security number, you know who we are, can't we just do it that way? Aren't we voting? Boom, aren't we on the rolls? That kind of thing. But then it gets messy because there's people who don't drive. There's people who are stuck in situations where they can't get to vote unless they're taken to vote. And there's some sinister people who prey upon older people, who prey upon poor black folks, who you know, prey upon the naivety of people who really should have the right to vote. And then, of course, there's others who decide, let's stack the deck. 11 million illegal people in this country. How many of them do you think voted in our last elections? How many found a way to vote and were sent in that direction? Like I said, if we could just shoot for somewhere in the 80s, wouldn't it be nice? So it's no doubt we've got people on both sides of this, and we do in the mailbag, too. So let's take another one. This one from Justin, who says, thumbs up with the Supreme Court decision. It makes me very unpopular in my home city of Jackson, Mississippi. But I think it's a smart thing that has to happen, because if you ask me, people who I know who were running the polling booth say that there were a lot of shenanigans that they tried to get through in having people vote who couldn't speak English, who definitely wouldn't have been in the United States legally, but somehow went and had a registration card that they could vote. How did they get the registration card? I don't understand. Yeah, it's interesting, Mississippi, too, that you're talking about it there. I guess it, and saying Jackson, I'm surprised by that, but, you know, whatever the specifics are there. Really, this hits the South, and that's what everybody's pretty much saying. In 1965, I mentioned this before, 11 states that were from Virginia to Texas had, you know, just a handful of even black legislators, and that grew phenomenally to 321, or 18%. Now, that was the whole idea of what kicked in the 60s, because there was outrageous discrimination problems. You know, there wasn't a fair shake, come on, in a lot of these places. So that's why it was enacted. That way there was that big push, and there were plenty of Republicans, by the way, who wanted it to happen, and Democrats. So that's what we're talking about in the 60s. Things have changed, but so what, and what does that mean now? What is it for the future? All right, a couple of quick others that hit up the Supreme Court decision. Red says, voter suppression equals an unhappy nation equals people not wanting to vote. Big problem. Short, sweet, and to the point, voter suppression isn't good no matter how you break this down. And there are people who say that the next wave of voter suppression measures statewide in some, you know, in some of these states will kick in because there'll be things that will be required of people who are voting that some will not have, and they will not go and vote. They won't go and vote, so their votes won't be counted. Hmm. All right, and here's another one from this one from Tracy, who says, "I was very surprised about the Supreme Court ruling. I have to say 5-4, and I figured it would maybe go in the opposite direction, but I read several times what Chief Justice John Roberts had to say, and I think I agree with him, because the law had its time, it was useful, it was amazing, and did what it needed to do, but now it doesn't make any sense, and too many people are trying to stuff the ballot box with fake votes, and that's just not right." Okay, so let's move on to something else. This comes to us from Jacob in Illinois. "Ed Snowden rocks, Kate. Man, you got to defend him. He is the man. Talk about a supreme whistleblower. I think he should get a pass. He should get a pardon, and he should get a parade right down the canyon in New York City. I fear that instead somebody will try to pick him off. Maybe Ron Paul was right." Yeah, it was Ron Paul, the former congressman from Texas, who said, "Yeah, I'm worried he's going to get assassinated." I don't worry about that. I think what will happen is he goes to Ecuador and they grant him the asylum and he stays there, and there's the continuing cat and mouse game that gets played. And does he ever come back to the United States? Probably not. If he comes back to the United States, then he is going to face time, and they'll push that to the wall. And I can't imagine that he would wiggle out of the espionage charge. All right, here's another quick one, too. Keith says, "Boy, fascinating to see what's happening in the George Zimmerman trial. Kate, how long do you think this thing goes? Are we going to see something reminiscent of the last time we had a big case in Sanford, Florida?" I would say when it comes to Zimmerman, it depends on how many witnesses you're talking about, talking about calling and whatnot. Casey Anthony, different story, accused and charged with killing her 2-year-old daughter. Of course, nobody is going to answer for that crime now. But this crime equally as titillating to people because it's the stand your ground law, gun rights, all that stuff is being challenged. George Zimmerman, by the way, serious stuff. He faces life in prison if convicted of the second-degree murder of Trayvon Martin. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. AmericaTonight.net.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.